Look in the book of Philippians this evening. Here, Philippians chapter 4, and look at verse 11. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Father, we do thank you for our home church. We thank you for these folk who pray for us while we're on the road. Lord, it makes a difference. It makes a difference in our meetings. I pray that you'd bless them, Lord, for spending time praying for us. We ask for our pastor tonight. He's probably preaching. If he's not already done, he may be still in the pulpit. I pray you'd use him mightily. Lord, help him. He's a blessing to us. Let him be a blessing to those folk there. I pray that you'd give us good liberty. We are thankful for the good crowd that's out. I pray you'd meet the need on every heart. Help me, Lord. My intent is I want to be a help, and I'll praise you for it, for I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm looking there at verse 11. You know, the book of Philippians was one of Paul's prison epistles, okay? It was written from a Roman jail cell, Roman prison, all right? And I probably could have read that more in context, but I'm looking at a thought. We will use other scriptures here in it, but I'm looking at that thought that he ends up with there in where he says, to be content. He says, I have learned. And whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. We could have run some references, you know, over there in 1 Timothy, where he talks about but godliness with contentment is great gain. Amen. Could have run some other references. What I'm trying to look at this evening is that we live in a society that's very discontented. This world is filled with discontented people. And you can't help them. The governments, the local governments are trying to appease, and I'm not trying to get political here, but it helps lead into what I want to bring out. They're trying to appease a discontented people that you cannot content them. You could prove that just by one city, Seattle, if I'm allowed to mention that, where they bent over backwards up there. They were in la-la land for a while until they marched on that mayor's place, and then she decided to shut it down. But I'm saying that they could not content that crowd. And we're losing our nation because of this thing of discontentment. But now, what's sad is, if we're not careful, we will pick up on that spirit of discontentment. Now, we can't, I only was in on the last night of it. We were in a meeting. But the church just come out of that camp. And the whole emphasis was, we need God. But he's the answer to any problem. He's the absolute solution. Amen. Okay. In other words, there's no way for any man to be content apart from the Lord. Amen? Man will always be discontented in the things of this world, in himself, whatever he wants to name. He'll never find contentment in those things. Amen? Now, here with the Apostle Paul, I mentioned this is a prison epistle. And it's a unique book, okay? What I'm emphasizing is Paul said, I have learned therewith to be content. In other words, it's something we have to learn. Amen? It's not within us. It's not something that we come up with on our own. Now, in saying that, It's not talking about not trying to better yourself, you know, getting a new outfit or a better automobile or, you know, it's not, moving up in your education or getting better job training. That's not being discontent. That's trying to improve your life. Okay? Amen? Okay? But what I'm looking at is how that we forget about who our God is. We forget about how good our God is. We forget about what He's already done for us. We forget about where He's brought us from. And all we can look about is what we don't have or what we think we need or we're not content, you know, that kind of thing. We're in a strange society where nobody appears to be content. Amen. I'm talking about in the world. We don't want to bring it in. We don't want to bring it into our home. We don't want to bring it into our individual lives. We don't want to bring it into the church. Hey, but now it's something we have to work at. Paul said, I have learned to be content. Now, I emphasize the prison epistle. The book of Philippians has a major theme throughout it. And that main theme throughout the book is rejoice. Rejoice, rejoicing, joy, gladness. You go through there and count it out, and it appears some 19 times in the four chapters in one form or another. Joy, one place it's gladness, rejoicing, rejoiced. Amen. So the main theme of the book is rejoicing. Okay? But now there's an underlying theme throughout the book too, and that is of suffering. Amen. What does he say in chapter 3? That I may know him. And he goes on, talks about the fellowship of his sufferings. Amen. So there's an underlying theme. See, I already said we're a pampered church in a good way. Okay? All right? God's been good to us. But we don't want to get so pampered that we think we ought to have more than what we have. Or get lusting after something we don't need. Amen. Now, this thing of rejoicing, rejoicing shouldn't depend upon circumstance.
That's right. Amen.
Amen. We ought to be rejoicing in the Lord. Amen. Look up at verse 4 in this chapter and see it. Where Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Can you back up one more? Because I really like this one. There in chapter 3 and verse 1. I like it because of this. Paul says, finally, my brethren. And writes two more chapters. That helps me on the road. Amen. I can say, and finally. Amen. Humor helps. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. And he goes on to write the same things to you. To me, indeed, is not grievous, but for you it is safe. It's always safe to rejoice in the Lord. We can't always rejoice in circumstance. Here, you know this, where the Lord told his handpicked disciples. He told them, he says, in the Gospel of John, he says, in the world, now where are we? In the world, ye shall have tribulation. That means there's going to be some rough days. There'll be some dark times. There'll be some bad hair days. Amen? Okay? Not everything's going to come your way. All right? One of the things we're praying for, I just learned tonight, we're praying for the McGuffey family, and then somebody else mentioned somebody's aunt. Death is not easy. It's not easy. Even if you know that person knew the Lord and they're in a better place, It's not easy, okay? But we can still rejoice in the Lord, even in the circumstance we find ourselves. Paul's in a jail cell, and he's talking about suffering for the Lord. He's not there because he murdered somebody or because he broke some Roman law. He's there for his testimony for the Lord. Amen. So he's suffering because of his testimony for the Lord. I'm trying to get to where I'm going. The government's not working for us. The government has a role in society, and it's dropped the ball here because one of the primary things is law and order. That's given to government. Okay? All right? But now, they're trying to mandate too many things. They're trying to get involved where they have no business being involved. I like it when our president came out and said, church is essential. It is essential. Amen. All I'm saying is that, hey, we don't know exactly what's coming yet. We don't know. They keep talking about a changing society. It's only changing because of man. Hey, this virus didn't catch God off guard. God knew a virus. In fact, he allowed it to come. It may be a thinning out process. I don't know. But I know this, that, hey, we don't know what's on the horizon yet. Okay? But regardless of what's on the horizon, we need to learn to be content, and we need to learn to rejoice in the Lord and in His goodness. Amen? Okay? Now, look at Paul, how he can do this. When you think about being in a Roman prison, look at chapter 4 before we leave it. Chapter 4, and look at verse 22. It says, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Now, if I'm understanding this right, if I'm correct on this, that it's Nero's reigning. So it is a perilous time for the Christian. Okay? It's a perilous time. Well, what do we find ourselves in? Perilous times. Okay? But now, though it was a perilous place, it was also a precious place because it's where God put him. No accidents with God. Paul, they'd have never locked him up had not God put him there, allowed him to be there. Amen. Okay. But also, it was a prospective place. Because though Paul's in a prison cell, it talks about the souls that were reached in Caesar's household. What does it mean? It means God doesn't quit working just because the circumstance is adverse. We can still do something for God and be content that He's using us regardless of the circumstance. Amen? Okay? But here, what I'm getting at is that it's a pattern place for you and I. It'll help us see what Paul's going through. It'll help us to see what we're going through and help us to understand that, hey, we need to learn to be content. Okay, I got four little thoughts, and these verses are well known. They're pointed out a lot. Anybody that goes through Philippians, they're pointed out a lot. Okay, the first thought I want you to look at is in chapter 1, and look at verse 20 with me. According to my earnest expectation, my hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Now, really, I'm looking at that one verse. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now, Paul talks about learning to be content. As we look at Paul, we're observing him in prison. And yet, though Paul was in prison, Paul was not afraid of what would take place in prison. In other words, Paul found courage in the Lord while he's in the prison. That helped him to be content. He's all with me a minute ago. Come on. Amen. What are you talking about? He says, Christ is my life. We could compare some of other Paul's writings where he says, if God be for us, who can be against us? Hey, if we're on the winning side already, yep. Yeah. Amen. If God's on our side, what are we afraid of? I think about a psalm, I can't remember which one it is, where it talks about being outnumbered and being outdone, but is not disheartened. Amen. Hey, you and I might be outnumbered, and the world may think it's outdoing us. Hey, but we're on the right end of this thing. Amen. Hey, whether we're in the prison or not in the prison, whether we have to wear a mask or not wear a mask, whatever else they might come up with. Hey, if they try to shut it down again or don't shut it down again, hey, we're on the winning end of this thing. What do we have to be afraid of? There's a song, I don't know, I think the ladies might have sang it here. Somebody did, I think, if I'm remembering right. But I just heard my daughter-in-law sing it up in Ohio. And the name of it is He Has. And I can't get it going, but it's talking about I can't see eyes ahead, but He can. You know, that kind of thing. Amen. Hey, we're limited. We're limited in what we can see. We're limited in what we can know. Hey, but Christ is my life. He sees it all. He knows it all. He's two steps ahead. Glory to God. Hey, what do we have to be afraid of? Amen. We can be content because Christ is our life. It's never been about you and I. It'll never be about you and I. It's always been about Him. It's always been about Him getting glory in you and I. Hey, the sooner we learn it's Him, it's His life in us that makes a difference. Hey, we can learn to be content. Amen. Learning to be content. Now, notice the second thought. Go to chapter 2 and look at verse 5. Paul found courage in the Lord. Chapter 2 and verse 5, he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. What I'm looking at here is where Paul's looking at our Lord and Savior. He's already said, Christ is my life. But now he says, let this mind be in you. What he's saying is, not only should Christ be our life, but Christ ought to be our mind. That we got to think right if we're going to be content. Amen? If we're not thinking right, we won't be content. So Christ is my mind. Now, as he found courage, there Christ is my life. Here he finds comfort. Christ is my mind. What do you mean? He says, let this mind be in you. It's a combination of looking at the Word of God for comfort, but also looking at the Savior for comfort. Did you know that Calvary didn't sneak up on Jesus? That it was actually planned before the foundations of the world were ever established. That God would come at, that Jesus would come at God's appointed time. That it's the absolute reason why he came. You know the verses. He counted it all joy to go to the cross. He set his face like a flint to go to Calvary. What was his purpose? Well, the writer of Hebrews goes on to tell us to bring many sons unto glory. Amen? Okay? So, hey, you and I, we can get comfort if we allow this mind to be in us. Amen? We can be comforted. Now, that's important. Those that are discontented, there's nothing that'll comfort them. Amen? I don't care what you do, how you do it, when you do it, how fast you do it. Those that are discontented will never find any comfort. But if we'll get a hold of what Jesus did for us and get into the Word of God, we can learn to be content and find comfort in our Savior. Amen? Well, there's a third thing that I want you to see. Look in chapter 3 and verse 13. And it says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of Christ Jesus. Let us therefore as many be perfect, be thus minded. And if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Well, hear what we're looking at. Paul in prison was not afraid. He found courage in the Lord. Paul, in perils there in the prison, was not alarmed. He found comfort in the Lord. But here now, Paul, though perplexed, was not anxious. He was committed to the Lord. Amen? What are you saying? Paul could have worried and fretted and everything else in that prison cell. He could have sat there and had a pity party. Amen. He could have thought, why me? I mean, I'm here, I'm trying to serve the Lord. Why am I in this prison cell? Could have had a pity party. Yeah, I've told you this before. Humor helps. I think you and I, we like pity parties. It baffles the mind how we like pity parties. They're actually no fun. Nobody comes. There's no balloons. There's no cake and ice cream. But we like them so well, I think every one of us could change our middle name to Eeyore. Woe is me. I heard a preacher use an illustration. I won't say his name, but he was talking about mama had gone shopping or something, and daddy was watching the little boy, and he was trying to get him something to eat, had him sitting in the high chair, and He asked the boy, what do you want to eat? He should have just made something and give it to the boy. Amen. He said, what do you want to eat? And the little boy says, I want a worm. And his dad says, I'm not getting you a worm. We've got food to eat. Well, he's kicking his feet and throwing a tantrum and screaming. So his dad goes out in the yard, digs up a worm, brings it in, throws it on a plate and puts it before him. And the boy, he carries on again. The dad says, what's wrong now? He says, I want it cooked. See, he was discontent. So he throws it in a frying pan, sizzles it, flips it over, sizzles it, throws it back on the plate and gives it to him. And the boy continues in his, you know, tantrum. He says, what's wrong now? He says, I want you to eat with me. Dad says, I'm not eating. I'm not eating the worm. He carries on. So dad takes a knife, cuts the worm in two, picks up half of it, chokes it down, and the boy goes on again. And the dad says, what's wrong now? The boy says, you ate my half. The boy was discontented. You know, you get perplexed. Sometimes you don't know what to do. Paul sitting in the prison, I imagine there were many days he didn't know what to do. But he didn't waste them having pity parties. He didn't fret over them. Wasn't anxious about them. He was committed to the Lord. In other words, it's like we read here. And I press toward the mark for the prize of the whole high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, if I'm headed for the chopping block, if I've got to spend more days in the prison, said whatever lies ahead, I'm going with God. I'm picking them up and putting them down. I'm not going to fret over it. Not going to waste time worrying about it. Hey, I'm going with God. That's what we've got to do. No matter what governor says what. If you think Alabama's bad, you ought to come to some other states. Amen. Our son Ben's out there in California. They're talking about reclosing. Ben says, when did they open? Governor says, yeah, we're going to have to reclose. And Ben said, they never opened here, Dad. I don't know what he's talking about, reclosing. Our son up in Michigan, I hope I don't get in trouble for this, but their governor said, my executive orders are law and they will be obeyed. So we really don't have it as bad as we think we do. Amen? There is a way out of that, by the way. There, you know, next time the election's up, just think about who to vote for. Amen? Hey, if not people get discontent with leadership, maybe we'll get some better leadership. But I'm talking about the believer now. You and I, no matter who's in office, no matter what decrees they make, no matter what fines they want to attach, hey, we got to pick them up and put them down. We need to continue on. We need to be committed. Amen. Amen. Be like our Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, there is a last thought. Look in chapter 4 again. Look at verse 13. Paul says, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. As we started out, Paul in prison was not afraid. Paul in perils was not alarmed. Paul, though perplexed, was not anxious. Here, Paul amongst his peers was not ashamed. He realized he was there by God's providence. No matter what king said what Caesar said what. Amen. How do I know that? You remember Peter was in prison under Herod. Acts chapter 12. James was beheaded. Our pastor just mentioned this not too long ago. And Peter's fast asleep. He's on death row. Fast asleep. And the angel has to wake him up. Amen. I think if I was sitting on death row and I knew my head was coming off the next day, I don't know how much sleeping I'd do. I'm confessing. Okay? But my point here is that as Peter fell asleep there in the prison, knowing that he was there by, you know, God allowed that, and God got him out of that, God delivered him out of that, it shocked Peter. It shocked the church. He was praying for Peter. Peter shows up and knocks on the door, and Rhoda answers the door, and she goes back and says, it's Peter. And they said, no, it can't be. He's in prison. Amen? What are you getting at? I'm getting at this thought that, hey, you and I, no matter what comes our way, we're there by God's grace. We're there because He's put us there for a purpose. We're going through whatever to shine for His glory. Amen. When I mentioned there his peers, Paul amongst his peers, look in chapter 4 and verse 1. He says, therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche and that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And he goes on and mentions others like that. What are you saying? Hey, he was trying to shine the best he could. That God had put him there. God allowed him to be there. Being amongst his peers, he wasn't cowering down, thinking, "Well, I must be out of the will of God. There's nothing I can do here." Paul realized that, hey, even though I'm being abused and I'm suffering, I'm going to learn to be content. I'm going to learn to rejoice in the Lord, because even though I can't change my situation, God can. What I can't do, God can. It's a matter of whether He will, but God can. Amen. Think about Harold Seitler, where he preached that message. God can. It's never a matter of whether God can. It's a matter of whether He will. He might have us going through this for a special reason. Amen. Hey, I personally think this is all leading up to the fact that we don't have many days left. I think it might be leading up to, hey, we need to wake up. If Paul can be used of God on death row, in a prison cell with all the hindrances and all the circumstance marked up against him, and rejoice and learn to be content, then you and I better take it to heart. You say, well, there's not much I can do. Well, that's where God steps in. As long as you and I are doing, then it hinders God. But what we can't do, God can, and He can do it right now. I think about David and Goliath. How Saul trembled in his boots. All the men of Israel trembled at the sight of that giant. He was a massive man, okay? How he paraded. And little David, they called him little David. He was a ruddy youth, wasn't 20 years old yet. Showed up, and when that giant paraded, he says, is there not a cause? And Saul said, well, you can't go up against him. He's a giant. He put my armor on. And David says, can't go with them, not proved them. And he goes and picks out five smooth stones. And that giant says, I'm going to feed you to the beast. The bird's going to peck on you all day long. And David said, that's what you think, big boy. You come to me with an arm of the flesh, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. What I can't do, God can. You're coming down.
Yep.
Amen. Hey, you know, God's still the same yesterday, today, and forever. God's not changed. God's still sitting on the throne. God's still overseeing everything. God's still holding providential sway. Amen. Hey, we need to learn to be content. God has us here for a reason. This thing might be winding down. I'm not setting a date. I know idiots that try to set a date. And the days come and go. But I know this. We can see how quickly things change with just a virus. And all the world submits. See, this thing didn't just strike the United States. It struck the whole world. Amen. If the whole world is stopped by a virus, looking for somebody with an answer, hey, that to me is a prelude of what's just on the horizon. Amen. There's going to be such a traumatic thing take place. They're going to be looking for a man with a solution. He's going to show up, but before he can ever be announced, you and I are headed up out of here. We're going home. We're going to the Father's house. Hey, it's going to be all right. Hey, God's still in control. God can do what He wants to do, and He'll do it when He wants to do it. You and I just need to learn to be content.